is he appealed to the Philippians for unity. For unity. Of course, we all can answer that to somewhere. So Philippians actually is a letter from a friend to his friends. It's very interesting. It's a letter from a friend to his friends. Because if you look at other Paul's letters, it's very interesting. Other Paul's letters start out like this. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. He was showing his authority. But look at Philippians. He doesn't start that way in Philippians at all. He's just like he's writing a letter to some friends. He doesn't start out that way at all. In chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, we find at least four characteristics that I mentioned of a Christian life, and I'm going to cover one of them because it's impossible to cover all of them. But the first one that I want to cover, as you probably picked up on a couple of the hymns, is the Christian joy. That's the first mark of a true Christian, the joy they have in their lives. And so I'm going to look at the first few verses there in Philippians 1, verses 3 through 6. Verses 3 through 6. So take a look at those. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Isn't that interesting? Do you pray with joy? I always pray with joy. Let's go on. Because of your partnership with the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So Paul was joyful because they accepted Jesus Christ. Evidently, they weren't perfect yet because he says they're still growing, but he is joyful. He just loved to pray for the Corinthians. He remembered them. He had gratitude toward them, bound them together in personal relationships and everything like this. That's how Paul felt about the Christians in Philippians. And if we stop to think, he had no regrets. He had only happiness. And in with this joy, Paul says to his friends, the letter to the Philippians is called the letter also of the epistle of joy. That's what it's called. So the whole point of the letter is, Paul says, I do rejoice. Do you rejoice? That's the question. In verse 4, there is the joy of Christian prayer. The joy of bringing those that Paul loved. The joy of bringing those that we love to the mercy seat of God. So I have to ask the question, when you pray, do you pray with joy in your heart? Especially when you're praying for brothers and sisters. There's a nurse that was taking care of a man that was very dull, disgruntled. He had dispirited character. But she prayed for him, and she taught him how to pray. And he turned from this, whatever you want to call it, to a man of joy when she taught him how to pray. And when she taught him how to pray, she used her hand. So I'm going to use our hands. You have to take your hand, have to hold it up. And the first thing that she prayed for was the fact that the thumb was closest to her heart. Closest to her heart. So her thumb reminded her to pray for those who was closest to her. To always pray for those who are closest to her. That's the first thing she prayed. And that's what she taught this gentleman. The second finger is the pointer finger. And so she taught this man to pray thankfully for the teachers. Because, you know, teachers are always pointing and teaching. You're lecturing. Teachers and those in responsibility that teach, pray for them. And I have to admit, you know, that teaching is not a high rewarding job in our schools. They don't get the best pay, but they give and they give and they give and they give. And when I first started working in the church, my first job was to teach. I taught grades 5 through 8 in Lincoln City, Oregon. And it didn't take me long to realize that the children were not the problem. It was the parents. The parents were the problem. And dealing with the parents sometimes, and I could tell you stories that just crack you up. Because I remember one time, I'll tell you a little part, I'll give you a little feeder, then you'll have to ask me someday. But I remember one time meeting a parent at the door with a baseball bat over my shoulder. Moving on, the third finger is the tallest finger on your hand. And so she reminded him to always pray for leaders. Pray for people that are very important in positions that are making decisions. Pray for the leaders. Keep them in your prayer. That's the tallest finger. And then the fourth finger, pray. That's the weakest finger. Do you know that? Some people think this is the weakest, but the weakest finger is really the fourth finger. Now, as I said that, I looked and Colleen went like this. That's because pianists and organists know that's the weakest finger when you go playing. It's your weak finger. So pray for those who are weak. Pray for those who are in need. Keep that in mind. And then the fifth finger, of course, is the smallest finger. And the smallest finger reminded her that how little it is. And she said, that's where you pray for yourself. Because she felt that she was not really that significant. She wasn't that important. But she needed to pray. And so, can you remember that? You pray for who with a thumb? Person that's closest to you? The pointer finger? Teachers, the tall finger? Leaders, the weak finger? Those who are weak and in need, and the little finger for self. And this changed that man. It changed that man. He became a man full of joy rather than a disgruntled. Whatever you call it. Philippians 1:18, that's one I want to look at next. Philippians 1:18. By the way, there are 10 characteristics here dealing with joy. That's what I'm going to share with you this morning. Hang on, we're running over time already. Philippians 1:18, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. Now, if you read a few verses before that in that chapter, it's very interesting. There were people preaching Jesus Christ from a bad motive, from a bad attitude, from a bad situation. But you know what? What got me was that Paul didn't care. He didn't care because they were preaching Jesus. They were preaching Jesus. He rejoiced because somebody else was preaching Jesus. And I think, I got to thinking about that, I'm thinking, do we as Seventh-day Adventists, I hope not, feel that we're the only one that preaches about Jesus? No. There are a lot of different churches that preach about it, and we should rejoice that they're sharing Jesus. Rejoice that they're sharing Jesus. That's what Paul says. He's rejoiced that they're I can remember when I first became a Christian. I was a preteen. And when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I tell you, I was baptized and I just wept and wept and wept and wept. I wept for joy. I wept for joy. Then years later, I had the opportunity to study the Bible with an Adventist and change my whole thinking. And I was so excited about what the Seventh-day Adventists taught, what Seventh-day Adventists, shared with me. I wanted to run to the top of the mountain and yell at everybody, listen what the Seventh-day Adventists have found in the Scriptures. I was excited. I was excited. And so anytime Jesus is preached, we should be excited. We should be excited because people are learning about Jesus. Which reminds me, remember Perry Parks when he was here? And he gave his sermons for AWR. Adventist World Radio, and he said that one of the things they are using right now is that little solar radio. Man, that just thrilled me. I got excited. A little radio, and they have a program so they can listen to different stories and different preaching about Jesus. I still want one of those solar radios, but anyway, that's besides the point. So Christ is being preached should make us all rejoice continuously, Paul says. Rejoice. Okay, Philippians 1:25. Philippians 1:25, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that though my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. So Paul is full of joy. We should be joyful because of the faith we have in Jesus Christ. That should just make us, our faith should make us joyful. You know, if Christianity does not make us happy, then it will not make us anything at all. Period. Christians should make us so full of joy that we shine. Seriously. The psalmist says, they looked to him and were radiant. And remember Moses? Coming down off the mountain, what? His face shone. His face shone. Christianity is the faith of a happy heart and a shining face. And so people should see that we are Christians. We shouldn't have to tell them. They should see that we're Christians because of the joy we have in our hearts. There's also, Paul says, there's also joy of seeing Christians fellowshipping together. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 and 3. Philippians 2, verses 1 and 3, fellowshipping. He says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any comfort from his love, if you have any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tendencies and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one spirit and one purpose. There is joy in fellowship. There's joy in unity. There is joy in oneness. Psalms 133, verse 1 says, how good and pleasant is it when brothers live together in unity. Oh, let me read that again. How good and pleasant it is when sisters live together in unity. I'm not going to say a lot, but some of you, I'm hoping your minds are turning a little bit here, because sometimes there are some scrapping going on between individuals that I pray a lot about. There is peace when no one, there is peace for no one where there are broken human relationships and strife. Peace for no one. There, and yet, on the other hand, there is no happier, lovelier sight than to see a church family linked in love to each other, or a church whose members are one with each other because they are all one in Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, when we become a church united like that, I think we'll see things happening that we've never seen before. Paul continues, he says, there's joy in suffering for Christ. Now, how many of you are taking a spiritual gift inventory? You see your hands? Some of you have. Oh, I didn't know that. We should do that sometime. That's a lot of fun. Find out what your spiritual gift is. You know, the one gift I never have found when I take that test, I don't have the gift of being a martyr. It doesn't pop up. I think that if it comes to the place where I have to suffer that much for Christ, then he'll give me the gift. But I don't run around looking for suffering right now. It's not one of my spiritual gifts. And yet, those that have gone through suffering and martyrdom, it's very interesting to me. For instance, a martyrdom of the flames, Polycarp prayed, he says, I thank thee, O Father, that thou hast judged me worthy of this hour. Here he was burning in the flames, and he's thanking the Father for the life that he was now living in the flames. How many times do you and I thank God when we're suffering? Pretty tough, huh? And we haven't gotten there. I haven't gotten there yet. I suppose last Sabbath when I decided to take that dive on the floor, I should have thanked God that it didn't hurt too bad. Anyway, suffering. There are people in our congregation that suffer. Lift them up in prayer. And may they see that the way that we accept suffering in our own lives, the joy of knowing that God is with us and allowing us to suffer, should actually come out in a positive way. Paul goes on, he says, there's joy in hearing news from loved ones. How many of you have loved ones that do not live in Michigan? Do not live in Oregon. How many have loved ones that do not live in Oregon? Yeah. It's exciting when you hear from them. It's exciting when you get to see them. I can remember when we lived in Michigan, we left to Michigan. We left there and my story of going to Michigan to teach was quite a story, because I went there to interview totally to tell them no. I wasn't going to go. I loved Oregon. I loved pastoring. Why should I go and teach at the university? I had no desire to do that. And I can remember when the director said to me, he says, you haven't given me an answer yet. After he toured me and wined and dined my wife and I and toured us, I remember him saying, you haven't given me an answer yet. And I looked at him, I said, oh, we'll come. I had not planned on saying that. I hadn't even talked it over with my wife. I wonder if she didn't take care of me right then. And it was hard on my wife. I'll tell you, the first few years was hard on my wife. She was born and raised in Oregon. Her friends were in Oregon. All her relatives were out here. And we just walked off and left them. And I promised her. 5 years, we're out of here. 27 years later, we came back. But I'll tell you, why I share that is every time we got to hear from our kids, whether it was a text message, a telephone call, or we got to travel out here, they travel, it was exciting. It was just filled with joy. Well, that's what Paul is happening here with let me look at this again. Epaphroditus. There we go. Whew. Anyway, he's sending them back home to his hometown. You see, he got very sick. That was the gift that the Philippians gave Paul. And he got very sick. He almost died. And the Philippians were anxious because they were worried about him. They loved him. And not only that, Epaphroditus was also homesick. And so for those two reasons, Paul sends him back, knowing, number one, that they'd be full of joy, and he himself was full of joy and able to send him back. And so we should feel joy when we get to see and connect with those around us that we love. And especially when there's times we just haven't seen him for a long time. And I know that Ruth and I, coming back from Michigan to see our friends, our loved ones, our children, our grandchildren, we only got to do it once, if we're lucky, twice a year. That was it. But it was a highlight. It filled us full of joy. Paul also goes on. He tells us later, he says, there is joy in hospitality. Joy in hospitality. Philippians 2:29. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy. Honor men like him. So he's saying, Philippians, receive him. Welcome him. And there's great joy in that. There's joy in Christian hospitality. Those who have the gift of hospitality, there's joy in your hearts when you invite people into your homes. I know, I can see it. And of course, when we're invited to your homes, we're joyful too. And one of these days, we'll start inviting some of you people to our house. We have a home in Central Point, and I bought it because of the acreage, and I wanted to put a garden in. I always wanted to do big gardens, and now I'm getting a chance, an orchard. But the house is not what we're quite used to. And one of these days, I got to be humble enough to invite you over for a dinner or a visit or a swim. We may have a swimming pool. How many of you like to come over? Kids are all gone. Oh, some of you always love to come over. All right. All right. So anyway, there's joy in Christian hospitality. A home that has open doors. A home that welcomes people and just puts their arms around them and say, we're glad you're here. There's joy in that from both parties, those asking and those receiving. Paul goes on and says, there's also joy when you see a man or a woman in Christ. When you see someone who is dedicated to Jesus, there is joy. Now, Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord. And then Philippians 4:1 says, therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy, my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. And so we've already seen that to be in Christ, to live in his presence as the birds live in the sky and the fish live in the water, it brings joy to see someone living in Christ constantly. And especially because to live in Christ brings joy to our own hearts. And so when we see somebody else living in Christ, it should bring to our hearts also joy, nothing but joy. Another one he says, another scripture here we'll give you is there should be joy in our hearts when one person is one to the Lord. When one person is the Lord, it says in Philippians 4:1, therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown. He's talking to the Philippians. They're his joy and his crown because he brought them to Jesus. He taught them about Jesus. They accepted Jesus. And so it fills him with joy because he won them to Jesus. It brings joy to a parent. It brings joy to a teacher. It brings joy to a pastor, to any member who brings someone to Jesus and they accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. You know, it brings joy to your heart. It's exciting. And for those who belong to Christ, here it comes. You ready? Evangelism is not a duty. It's a joy. So all members should be involved in bringing others to Jesus Christ. Lastly is the joy of a gift. And that's Philippians 4:10. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. So Paul here is saying one of the greatest gifts that can rejoice your heart is when I know that you concern about me. And I have to say that. I agree with Paul on that because I know many times many of you members come to me and say, you know, we're really concerned. How are you doing? You know, when they found out I took that block. You know, just to hear that people care, isn't that true? It brings joy to our hearts. It brings joy to our hearts. So reach out and let one another know that you care for them. And, of course, Paul was speaking, of course, returning his friend back to the Philippians. So those are the basic 10. I'm going to ask the deacons right now to pass out the Connect card, and I want you to respond to joy. So where are our Connect cards? There we come. Thank you, Don. And they would like to help him. Eldon, pass out the Connect cards. Let's take a look at them. By the pass them out for visitors, we try to all encourage everybody to fill out a card. It gives us information about you. You can write down a prayer request, and I guarantee you it will be prayed for if you have a prayer request. If you have a comment you want to make a comment. If you'd like to have our head elder preach more often, make a comment. Anything you like to say on that card, fill it out, and we'll follow through on that. And then on the back side of the card is a chance for you to respond to the lesson of the day. And of course, the lesson today was for joy, was joy. And Paul, if you take a look at that, there's 10 things. Let me review those with you again. There's joy in praying for others. Remember that? There's joy in praying for others. There's joy when Christ is preached. There's joy when having faith. There's joy when seeing brothers and sisters in Christ fellowshipping together in unity. There's joy in that. There's joy in suffering for Christ. There's joy in hearing and seeing from someone who's living a distance from us. There's joy in hospitality. There's joy in seeing another in Christ, a Christian man or a Christian woman. There's joy in winning someone to Jesus. There is joy in giving and receiving a gift. Wow. There's joy in the Lord. And Paul says to us, rejoice always in all things. And so if you take a look at your connect card, you see about five different areas that you can check off. I'm not going to read them. You can read them. Is there joy for praying for a brother or sister in Christ Jesus? Would that like to be part of your life? It's a chance to respond, you know. I have to tell you a little secret about these connect cards while you fill them out. When I first became a Christian, I belonged to the Baptist Church, okay? I belonged to the Baptist Church. Now, the minute I became a Baptist, I wanted to become a preacher. I was preteen. I wanted to be a preacher. Now you know why I wanted to be a preacher? I wanted to be a preacher so that I could get up here and pound on the pulpit, because that's what Baptists do, and tell you people what you need to do. I wanted to be. Then I became an Adventist, and kind of calmed you down, you know, a little bit. So when I fill out these connect cards, the chance for you to respond, that's me pounding the pulpit, asking you as a people, what do you think? Where do you want to be with Jesus Christ? Where do you want to be with each other? And it's your chance to say, this is what the Scripture says, and this is what I want to do. When you leave, give the cards to myself or a deacon elder, and we'll put them together, and we'll go through all of them, and we'll be praying for all of you. God bless. Have a beautiful Sabbath day. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you. I thank you for this people. I thank you for the joy that you put in my heart. I thank you for the joy that you give all of us. And may we be the radiant, joyful, praying Christians that you want us to be continuously, because Jesus Christ, your Son, lives within us. Bless us today, we pray, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.